Whatever I can in the 1 hour that I have, and I don't want to just, you know, get off on a tangent. Sorry.
So, if you don't do it, unless you make a shvuah.
Right.
To be sure, speak to you.
That's true. All right, Rabbi Osai, if you're following me, we're on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. And basically, just to summarize what we very quickly finished up on Yom Shlishi, we came to the conclusion that the Mishnah doesn't work out according to Rabbi Akiva, doesn't work out according to Rabbi Tarfa, because Rabbi Akiva, in the case of Gazal, Me'echad, Mechamish, Veloyada, Me'mi, Gazal, Rabbi Akiva requires that you return the Gzeil to each one of them. The Gemara had proven from two Brisos that that applies even if he did not take a Shvuah Sheker. Our Mishnah says that Yolichenu Levadai only if he took a Shvuah Sheker. So that doesn't square with Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara attempts to resolve our Mishnah according to Rabbi Tarfon. That doesn't work either, because Rabbi Tarfon would agree to Rabbi Akiva that Bebol Lotzei Sidei Shamayim, he would have to return it to each one of the five. And once again, that applies even if he did not take a Shvuah Sheker. So what we got up to is El Amar Rava. Rava wants to work out our Mishnah both according to Rabbi Tarfon and according to Rabbi Akiva. And you'll see that on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, approximately one line down from the top, Masnisen, Shiny Masnisen, the cave under Yoda, Leman Gazle. The Machlokis, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, is specifically limited to the case where he doesn't know who the Gazlan is. And if he can't identify the Gazlan, then we have a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Let's just summarize the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Both agree, even Rabbi Tarfon would agree, that if he's Bolotzei Sidei Shamayim, then he has to return the Gzela to each one of the five. The machlokus is, what's the Iker Adin? In other words, in a court of law, can each one of these five people force the Gazlan to pay them, and he'd have to pay five times? So again, on a level of Bolotzei Sidei Shamayim, even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that he's going to have to pay it to all five. Rabbi Tarfon argues, as far as the din in Beis Din is concerned, does he have to, can we compel him to return the Gzela to each one of the five? Whereas Rabbi Akiva says yes, he's chayv min adin to pay each one of the five. According to Rabbi Tarfon, he's only chayv b'bol lotzeis yideich shamayim. Now you'll ask, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that the requirement of holachas hagzela limadai is conditional on the fact that he took a shvuah sheker. So Rava says, shiny masnisen, the cave unto yoda leman gazle, in the case where not only is the gazlan mode that he stole the object, but he's mode that he stole it from so-and-so. He identifies the nigzal. And Rava makes a big deal about this. Why does the halacha change? Why is the halacha impacted by the fact that the gazlan identifies the nigzal via delay, and he admits, he confesses that he has to return the gzela to the nigzal? And Rav is mechadish a new svara here. What's his new svara? Kevan di efshar ladure mamona lemore. Since the gazlan is now holding on to the gzelan, he's saying, I'm ready, I've confessed the crime, I'm ready to return this gzela to the nigzal. At that point, the nigzal feels very secure. He feels very confident that he's going to get back his gzela. And Rava says, Havile kimandi omarle. It's as if the nigzal is saying to the gazlan, Yuli biyodcha, let these mos that you are holding on that belong to me, be in your hands, remain in your possession as a pikadon. That's how Rashi interprets it. Biyadcha. Until I come to collect it. And therefore, I, the Nigzal, am willing to recognize as if you had already returned the object to me. Hilchach, therefore, there's no reason why the Gazlan should have to take the object and run all the way to Madai, since the Nigzal himself is saying, you know what, you can keep it as a pikadon. So again, the Mishnah's assumption is that as far as Iker Din HaShav is concerned, there's no chiyuv incumbent upon the Gazlan to carry the object and return it straight into the hands of the Nigzal, because the Nigzal already waived the responsibility of the Gazlan and considered it as if he did it HaShavah when he said, "You li biyadcha, let the mos be in your hands." It's as if you've already returned them to me, because I feel perfectly secure that you will return it. And therefore the Mishnah sets up a new chiyuv that the Gazlan indeed has to return the object to the Nigzal. Why is that so? If the Nigzal told the Gazlan that he could hold on to it, so why is he obligated to bring it all the way to Madai? It must be that there's a whole new Mechayev here. What's the new Mechayev? The Shvua. Hilchot, says the Mishnah, Nishba, if the Gazlan took a Shvua Sheker, now we have a whole new Mechayev, a whole new Chiyuv. What is that? Afal Gav Deka Omerle Sheyu Yu Li Biyadcha, that the Mos could remain in your hands. On the level, shall we say, of, again, this is just my addition here, I hope it doesn't confuse anyone, of Bein Adam Lechavero, in terms of the Din Mamon, between the Gazlan and the Nigzal, there's no reason why the Gazlan should have to bring the object, the Gzelo, the most of the Gzelo, to the Nigzal. The Nigzal already said to him, "You li biyadcha, you can hold on to it for me. It's as if you returned it to me." But there's another element here, another dimension of, shall we say, Kapara Bein Adam Lemachom. On a Beinonim Lemachom level, he took a Shvua Sheker, his Kevan Deboi Kapar, since he needs a Kapar for the Chet of Shvua Sheker, the Torah now upgrades the demand, and the Torah, in a very harsh way, requires the Gazan to go way beyond the law of Beinonim Lechavero. It's no longer in the hands of the Nigzal to set up the Kapara. The Torah sets up the requirements of Kapara. And the Torah demands, as we saw in the pasuk that we learned this from, Lo Sagi, it's not enough that the Gazan holds on to the Gzeil on behalf of the Nigzal, but Adamati Liyadei. He has to do a new Maisa. It's not a Maisa Shava, because Al Pidin, he already returned the Gzela, because the Nigzal said to the Gazlan, Yuli Biyadcha. But there's a new definition of Hashava, Bitoras what? Not Bitoras Hashava Sakzela in the classical sense, but Hashava Sakzela is a Maisa Machaper for the Shvua Sheker. And that's called Adamati Liyadei. And that engenders a Chiv on the Nigzal, on the Gazlan, to bring it back to the Nigzal. But the Mishnah says, "Ha loishtabi, if the Gazlan never took a Shvua Sheker, and therefore the whole Dinu Dvarim, the whole issue is between the Gazlan and the Nigzal, is Havikabe Pikadon, then the Nigzal has already told the Gazlan that let it be in your hands as a Pikadon, Adayasi Vishakle, until I finally come and retrieve and collect my object." That's the case of our Mishnah. And all this is predicated on one premise, and that is that Efshar Ladure Mamona Lemare, that since the Gazlan identifies the Nigzal, he knows exactly who, and he confesses to the fact of who he stole it from, so he singles out the Nigzal. That's when we activate the principle that the Nigzal is already comfortable, he's already secure, and he has in effect recognized the Hashava by saying to him, let it remain in your hands as a pikadon. That's not the case of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. There he stole from one of five different people, and he doesn't know from whom he stole. So in that case, it's not like he's holding mamon biyada that's mizuman, that's mukhan and mizuman fashava. On the contrary, he doesn't want to return it to all these five people, and he has no clue to whom he wants to return it. So in this case, there's no nigzal who's willing to waive the chiyuv hashava and say to the gazlan, let it stay in your hands as a pikadon, and I'll come around and collect it. What do you mean you come around and collect it? There are five people who are demanding collection and claiming it's theirs. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says that since there's no halacha here of havilei kemandi amalei yu li biyadcha, therefore the gazlan has to fulfill his chiv hashava, not b'toras kapara, not because he took a shvuah sheker. He didn't take a shvuah sheker. We prove from two brises that Rabbi Akiva insists that even without a shvuah sheker, the gazlan has to return it multiple times, five times. But the answer is that since each one of these so-called nigzolim have a tviya, and the gazlan himself doesn't know how to respond to that tviya, he can't deny it because he doesn't know which one of the five is telling the truth. So Rabbi Akiva says in that case that al-pidin, based on strict letter of the law, each one of these five tovim have the right to demand payment. Again, the sugya there in Yevamos talks about Bari Veshema, Bari Adif, or La Bari Adif, and the Shvua, does each one of the five claimants have to take a Shvua, which is called the Shvua's Nishba Venotel, and that's the sugya there in Yevamos, not the sugya here in Bava Kama. But be that as it may, whatever the conditions that Rabbi Akiva insists upon setting, at the end of the day, if those conditions are met, then the gazlan is going to have to pay back five people, because otherwise he never fulfilled the Torah requirement of Heshev is like Zeila Asher Gazal, and has nothing to do with Shvuah. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, is talking about a case where Efshal Adure Mamona Lemare, where the gazlan is ready and eager to return the object. He wants to fulfill his chiyuv hashav, and therefore the nigzal waives him of his responsibility. The gazlan says to bring it to him. He says, you know, let it stay in your hand, I'll pick it up at my first convenience. And therefore there's no reason why the gazlan should have to go all the way to Madai to return the object when the nigzal himself waived him of that obligation. But the Mishnah says that there's another possible machayev. That's in the case where the gazlan took a shvua sheker, and there the Torah itself requires that the gazlan, has to do a maisa hashava in order to achieve what? Kapara for the avera of shvua sheker, and that's a special din of kapara. There are many requirements which the Torah sets up in order for the gazlan to achieve kapara if he took a shvua sheker. And again, the Gemara in Yevamos is going to tell us that Rabbi Tarfon disagrees with Rabbi Kiva Meikar Adin, because although the gazlan doesn't know to whom he has to return it, and each one of these five people are demanding that he stole from them, and he has to return to them, but nevertheless, the halacha doesn't rely on a tainas bari, meaning each one of these five has nothing but a claim. He doesn't have evidence to support his claim. Obviously, if one of the five would bring edim that it was stolen from him, then Rabbi Tarfon would agree to Rabbi Kiva that he has to fulfill his obligation of hashavas hagzeila. But Rabbi Tarfon builds his case on the fact that there is no evidence to support any one of the five. It's just a question of Shema, meaning the gazlan himself is confused as to whom he stole it from. Number two, each one of these five comes forward with the tightest bari that you stole it from me. But when we compare bari v'shema, we have a principle according to Rabbi Tarfon, lav bari adif lahotzi. And therefore, al pi din, the gazlan doesn't have to return the object to each one of these five, because none of them have proof and rayas or edus to support that claim. Is bari v'shema la bari adif, if you're familiar with that terminology. Says Rabbi Tarfon, but if he wants to be bal latzeis yidei shamayim, and he wants to guarantee himself that he won't suffer any punishments as a result of this gzela, you know, any divine punishment, retribution, then Rabbi Akiva is certainly correct. Rabbi Tarfon doesn't disagree that he has to return it to each one of the five. Okay, Rabbi, I'll say that was just to, you know, reiterate what we said at the end of the shiur in about 1 minute, and it took me almost 15 minutes to say it now. So now we start a new part of this sugya. The Mishnah says that if the gazlan took a shvuah sheker, Now he's obligated to return the object all the way to Madai. And not only that, the Mishnah says, Lo yitain, lo libno, velo lishlucho. It means that the Gazlan cannot exonerate himself and fulfill his obligation of Hashava, even if he gives it into the hands of someone who seems to be reliable. It's the son or the shliach of the Nigzal. And the Gemara is going to analyze the halach of shlichus here. In other words, l'chora, at first glance, I would say that if there's halacha called shlucho shel adam kimoso, if the Nigzal appointed a shliach, why wouldn't that be enough? The very moment that the object or the mos are handed over to the shliach, from the gazlan to the shliach, at that point, it's as if the mos or the object was returned to the Nigzal himself. He appointed this guy as his shliach. And the Gemara is going to go a step further, that this issue of what's the problem with the shlichus, that question should arise not only in the case of gzela, but even in the case of a shomer and a mafkid. So for example, if Reuven deposits an object in the hands of a custodian of Shimon, and Shimon now wants to return the object to Reuven, its owner, can he send the object with a shliach? In this case, let's say, for example, the mafkid, the owner of the object, appointed a shliach, and he said, go retrieve the object on my behalf. Would the shomer fulfill his chiyuv hashava the very moment that he handed the object over into the hands of the shliach of the mafkid? And if not for our Mishnah, if we just had our intuition, we would say shlucho shel adam kimoso. The very moment that the shomer hands it over to the hands of the shliach of the mafkid, at that moment, halachically, it's in the hands of the mafkid. The mafkid has appointed an agent, and that agent is the extended arm of the mishalech of the mafkid. And once the shomer gave the object over to the hands of the shliach, then he's in effect given it over to the mafkid. He's fulfilled his chiyuv hashava, returned to the mafkid, and then what happens afterwards is not his responsibility. And this entire sugya revolves around one issue, and that's called achrayus. At what point has the chiyuv hashava been fulfilled such that it exonerates him from any sort of achrayus? Let's say, for example, he was given as a deposit a cow, and he returned the cow to the shliach of the mafkid, and then the cow, on the way back to the mafkid, dies of old age, or gets hit by a flash of lightning, which is called onus. So if, for example, the shomer is a shoel, the shoel is chayv onesin. But in this case, since the shoel returned the object into the hands of the mashil, not physically, literally, but through the medium of shlucho shel adam kimoso, then at that point, he's mesalik himself from any achrayus. He's returned the object to the mashil, and he doesn't have to pay. He has to pay for the loss of the object. That's what we would have said intuitively, if not for the fact that the Mishnah says, at least in the case of gazlan, unless gazlan is different than a shomer, that if the gazlan returns or delivers the object that he stole into the hands of the shliach of the nigzal, he still remains responsible. The chiyuv hashav has not been fulfilled, and his achrayus therefore extends even beyond shliach. So what happened to shlichus over here? Itmar. So now we get to the sugi of shlichus. Shaliach shaso bifnei edim, Rav Chisda Omar havi shliach, and Rav Omar lo havi shliach. Now, what does this mean? This is a very strange machlokas. First of all, why? Well, even Rav Chisda, who seems to maintain what I call the intuitive and universal understanding of shlichus, why does Rav Chisda insist on on the presence of Eidim. Does that mean that the Gemara Rav Chisda is postulating that you cannot appoint a shliach without two Eidim? Now it is true, I have to admit, that there are halachas which require the presence of two Eidim. Can you think of any example?
Get Kiddushin,
for example, would be a great example. And that's called Eidus Le Kiyum Adama, meaning I can't create any sort of halos ishus without the presence of two Eidim. Now get is a little bit more complicated because Rabbi Meir holds what's called Eidi Chasima Karse. So it could be, Rabbi Natam Sheet on in Gittin Daf Dalet is that if you have Eidi Chasima, you don't even need Eidi Masira. So that's a little bit confusing because Eidi Slakim Adom, how can you have Eidi Slakim Adom based on Eidi Chasima? But that's a sugya unto itself. But in the case of Shlichus, I don't know. Minayin Lanu, Minolan that you need Eidi Slakim Adom in order to appoint a shliach as a valid shliach. And if I appoint you as my shliach, there's no one here in the room, that's not considered shlichus. So that's question number one. But I think the more fundamental question here that baffles the mind here is that we're talking about a shliach. If we're talking about a shliach, how could Rava say lo avi shliach? Rav Chisda is right. He appointed him as a shliach. So what do you want from my life? Havi shliach. And what this is going to mean, according to Rav Chisda, is that when the shomer delivers the object into the hands of the shliach of the mafkid, right? Then in such a case, he has fulfilled his responsibility of hashavas hapikadon. Same thing would apply to halvah. Let's say, for example, I borrowed 1,000 from you and I just return the 1,000 to the hands of the shliach. And finito, that's the end of the story. The din is that the shliach represents the Baal HaMos, and immediately when the shliach of the Baal HaMos receives the Mos, the shomer is completely exonerated from any responsibility because it's as if he returned it to the mafkid, to the malveh. And once he does so, he's fulfilled the Shriva Shova, then he's complete, you know, the responsibility, the achrayus of any onsim that might happen in the interim until it gets back to the hands of the mafkid, he's completely relieved of that responsibility. So again, we have two questions, and they're really two sides of the same coin. For some reason, this shlichus is questionable. It's so questionable that Rabbah invalidates the shlichus. And it's so questionable that Rav Chisda is only going to validate the shlichus because of what? The presence of two Eidim. So what is it about this shlichus that makes it a little bit, shall I say, second rate or unusual? So if we take Gittin as our paradigm, then we have in Gittin two different categories of shlichus. There's what's called shliach la'olacha, and then there's something called shliach le'kabbalah. Now, if we were learning Masechta Gittin, and parts of this also appear at the end of Bav Metzia, we would find out that to appoint a shliach le'kabbalah is a lot more complicated than a shliach la'olacha. In other words, when I need some shliach to do a maisa for me, an action, that's called classical shlichus. I appoint a shliach to do a maisa kinyan, to buy a cow for me. I appoint a shliach to do a maisa kiddushin, to bring this mos to the isha and deliver it to the isha. I appoint a shliach to deliver the get, and he does a maisa in the sinas get, v'nosam biyodo. That's classical shlichus. And basically, what happens is that since there's a maisa, and that maisa is nitfas b'shlichus, therefore it's kind of an easygoing shlichus. It's a very simple matter of appointing a shliach, and he does the maisa on behalf of the mishalech. But in the case of a shliach lekabbalah, that's a little bit more complicated because the shliach lekabbalah is not doing anything active, but basically the shliach lekabbalah is kind of representing the mishalech for the kabbalah. And what the Mishnah says in the third parak of Kiddushin is that to appoint a shliach l'kabbalah, she has to use a magic word. And what's that magic word? Hiskabli. Why is there so much emphasis on the word hiskabli? You know, why can't she just say, you know, you be my shliach, go do this for me, retrieve my get on my behalf, bring it back to me, retrieve my Kiddushin for me, and so forth and so on. No. She has to use the word hiskabli. Because through that word hiskabli, what she's doing is she's not just appointing a shliach in the sense of agency. You know, you go out there and represent me. You know, you be my representative. No, she's saying something much more than that. She's converting, she's transforming the yad of the shliach l'kabbalah into her yad. It's like as if she's saying, you put out your hands instead of my putting out my hands. That's already a much more sophisticated kind of shlichus. So Rava says the following, that we have to understand, we have to analyze the mindset of the mafkid. And the same kind of situation could apply to a malveh, maybe even to a nigzal. Obviously, the mafkid is very eager to get his object back. And so is the malveh to get his money back, so is the gazlan to get the gzela back. But how far is he willing to go over here because of his anxiety, because of his, you know, desire to get the object back? Is he willing to say that you be my courier? In other words, I find you somewhat reliable to achieve or implement the goal. The goal is obviously to bring it back. You know, you'll go on the train, you'll take the right train, you won't get lost on the train. And you won't start daydreaming with somebody in the middle is going to grab it from you. And you're a mature person and you're reliable and you'll do what you have to do. You know, like the famous story about the Beis HaLevi who sent Reb Chaim to retrieve the matzahs. So Reb Chaim on the way back, he tied the matzahs down to his feet because he knew it was a long train ride and he might fall asleep. And when he got to his father, and his father said, are you sure that these are the matzahs? You know, you have to be a brisket to understand this, but are you absolutely sure that these are the matzahs? You know, maybe somebody switched the matzahs in the middle. So Reb Chaim pulled up his pants, and he showed him that he was bleeding on his foot. That's how tightly he tied it to his feet. You know, that's what you call a courier who's reliable. He won't sleep, you know, like Yaakov Avinu l'achal nikerach b'alayla, and he ties it so hard to his feet that he starts bleeding from it. You know, that's what you have to do. That's one way of understanding it. The other way of understanding it is that when the Nigzal sent this person to the hands of the Gazlan, or when the Mafkid sends this person to the Shomer, what he meant to say was, and this goes a lot further, I'm willing to appoint you as my Shliach LaKabbalah. My Yad is your Yad. Your Yad is my Yad. And therefore, the moment that the shomer delivers this object into your hands, it's in my hand. Is that how far he went? Rava says, I'm a skeptic. Rava says, until he says that magic word, hiskabli, which is a code word for your hand is like my hand, and your kabbalah is like my kabbalah, until he said that word, hiskabel, or in the case of an Isha who appoints a Kabbalah Saget, his Kabbalah Gite, then we have no right to assume that the Mafkid had anything more in mind than you being a reliable courier. And if you're going to be a reliable courier and I trust you to bring it back, I'm not appointing you as a Shliach, says Rabbah. Comes along Rav Chisda, and this is the mind-boggling part. Rav Chisda says, you know, fundamentally, Rabbah, you're right, and I'm wrong. Except for one thing. Why did he appoint two Edim? If he appointed two Edim, then any gap, any question that you have, sort of like that gray area between being a courier and playing the role as a shliach l'kabbalah, I can traverse that gap and be mata esa, you know, I can incline the suffix in the scales to the tzad of shlichus based on the fact that he went and got Edim. Rav Chisda Omer Havi Shliach, why? Dilahachi tarchi vi ukmi b'edim. Why did he feel compelled to introduce, to invite two edim to witness him appointing this guy as a shliach? The answer is dileku birshusei. It means that the extra step that he took here, that extra 9 yards that we say, that he appointed two edim, was in order to demonstrate and convince us beyond the shadow of a doubt that he wants to, the mafkin wants to appoint this fellow, we'll call him Levi, right? Not just as a courier, not just to say to the, you know, to convey the message to the shomer, hey, you know, this is a reliable guy, he'll do a good job. You know, you send it with him. I checked out his credentials, you know, he's working for Ratz Kitzvi. I don't know if you've ever gotten close to an accident with those motorcycle guys, you know, the Tustusim, when they shoot across you like this because they're Ratz Kitzvi and they think they own the roads, you know. He's a reliable courier. You decide, Mr. Shomer, whether you want to trust him or not. That's your decision, says Rava. Oh, says Rav Chisda, no, that's not what the Mafkid had in mind. If the Mafkid had in mind to send a message to the Shomer that this guy is reliable, he would have written him a note and he said, here's a photocopy of his years of experience, of his resume as a courier. That's not what he did. He said to the guy, says Rav Chisda, you are my Shlich LeKabbalah. How do I know that, says Rav Chisda? Because otherwise, if he wasn't creating some sort of halachic entity, what we call a chal shem, in this case shlichus, why did he invite two edim? The two edim are going to serve not as edi kiyum, I would say, but rather as edi birur, so that if there's going to be any question whatsoever about the status of this fellow, was he appointed by the mafkid, the guy, the nigzal, the malf, or was he not? There are always two edim who are here, ready and willing to testify in front of a court and provide the evidence that there was a shlichus. If Rabbi, you were right, and the only reason the mafkid sent this Levi, we'll call him, over to Shimon, to the Shomer Shimon, is because he wants to tell Shimon, you know what, you can rely on this guy, then why did he appoint two edim? The need for two edim is going to justify that we upgrade this Levi from the status of simply a courier, you know, he's not just a donkey who carries things back and forth, but he's my shliach lekabbalah. Rabba Omar lo havi shliach. Rabba says he's still not a shliach. The magic word is kabalti or tiskabel did not come out of his word, his mouth, and therefore he's not a shliach. No, so what is? Why is he sending this guy? I mean, let the shomer have a headache. You know, it's shomer's headache to bring the object back and fulfill his chiyuv hashava. Hachi komar. He was just sending him a message. Inish mehemnehu. You know what? He's a reliable guy. Isamchis, if you trust my recommendation, smoch. You decide whether or not you want to send the object, the money back with this guy. That's your decision. I can't force you, you know, I can't influence you, but I can just tell you that I would advocate, I recommend relying on him. He's a good guy, he'll bring it back. He's not going to fall asleep, he'll tie the matzahs to his leg. If you decide to send it with him, they send it with him, but he's not my shliach. He's your shliach, so to speak. He's your courier. I wouldn't call him a shliach, but he's going to be your schlepper and your courier to bring the object back to me. But until I receive the object, the achrais is on you, Mr. Shomer, and not on me. Now the Gemara is going to learn Perek HaShoel. So, you know, there's one sheet that all three Bavas are part of one long Masechta. So, I, you know, usually I tell you that when the Gemara quotes a different Mishnah from some other Masechta, forget it, I'm out of here. But in this case, I can't, I have no time to spetur because it's not going to help me because it's a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. HaShoel Es HaPara. Now, what happens? Once the cow is in the hands of the shoel, who's borrowing the cow, he, the shoel, becomes absolutely responsible. What I mean by absolute? Even for phones. But what happens if the onus happens in that interim of period of time between when the mashil sent the para to the shoel and when the shoel actually received the para? So intuitively you would say, well, until such time as the shoel receives the para, he's not responsible. The chiyuve she'ela are engendered by the receiving of the para. However, this case is a little bit more complicated. Why? Because even though the cow died on its way from the mashiel to the shoel before the shoel actually received it, but the shoel appointed a shliach, whatever that word means, that's going to depend upon Rav Chisda and Rava, but he appointed some sort of a courier to represent him and go back to the mashiel and bring the cow to the shoel. And if that be the case, then it could very well be, given the logic of Rav Chisda at least, again with the proviso that there were two edim, that the so-called shliach is a real shliach l'kabbalah, which means that the yad of the shliach is like the yad of the shoel, which means that the very moment that the cow was handed by the mashal into the hands of the shliach, then halachically alpitin, it's already been given over to the shoel. And if it gets lost, it gets destroyed, it dies of lightning on the pathway, on the road back to the shoel, then the shoel will be responsible. And yet, oddly enough, and this is a real thorn in the side of Rav Chisda, the Mishnah is going to establish in Perek HaShoel that no matter what, there's an absolute p'tur until the shoel actually gets a hold of the cow. And it doesn't matter who sent the shliach, whether or not the shliach was sent by the mashil, then it's pshita that the shoel is not responsible until he gets it. But even if the shliach was sent by the shoel himself, the Mishnah has established, the shoel has not yet received the para, and therefore the chiyuve shmira are not generated, and he's potter from otz, and there's no chiyuv achrayis. How is that going to work out according to Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda just said that at least in the case where the shliach was appointed by in front of two eidim, so if the shoel brought two eidim over, and in the presence of two eidim, he said to Mr. Levy, do me a favor, the mashal wants to give me a para, go and receive the para on my behalf. Again, he didn't use the magic word hiskavel, because then even Rava would have a problem with the Mishnah in Perek HaShoel. But nevertheless, he did invite two Eidim, so then according to Rav Chisda, you don't need the magic word, Hiskabel. The Yad of the Shliach is the Yad of the Shoel. Why does the Mishnah then say Potter? So let's take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah has two variations. One is where the mashils appointed the shliach. That's not so relevant to us. In fact, the Rishonim are going to ask Pshita. I don't even know why the Mishnah even bothered with that case. And the safer the Mishnah is the case where the shoel appointed the shliach. But the Mishnah is going to paskin in both cases that the shoel is potter because he didn't yet get his hands on the para. Hashoel. Now the word shoel is a little tricky here because shoel in this case means that he wants to become a shoel. You follow what I mean? It's not shoel means he's already a shoel, because the whole point of this Mishnah is that he's not yet a shoel, but the Mishnah calls him a shoel because his bakasha was to become a shoel. Hashoel es hapara. So now, case number one is the mashil shilcha biad bino, o biad avdo, biad shlucho. If any of the three above are the shliach of the mashil, okay, that's for sure the shoel is potter, because the shoel hasn't yet received the para. Oh, this is the part that really has to occupy our minds. Biyad bno, biyad avdo, biyad shlucho shel shoel. Who appointed this guy as a shliach? The shoel did. Umesa, now the paradise, which is called onsim. Would the shoel be responsible to pay for that cow? It all depends. If he's a shoel. Now, I mean, not just mavakish, but if alpidin, he's already a shoel by virtue of shlichus. Then he has to pay. If he's not a shoel, because the shlichus is not valid, then he doesn't have to pay. And to our surprise, and to the chagrin of Rav Chisda, the Mishnah says potur. It means he's not a shoel. But wait a second. According to Rav Chisda, he became a shoel the very moment that his shliach received the para, because the yad of the Shliach is alpitin the yad of the Mishalech, in this case the Shoel. So in the Sefer, the Shoel should be chayev for Onsim if the parah died on its way, because he's already shol from the very split second that the Shliach received the parah from the hands of the Mashiel. Says the Gemara, Hai biyad shlucho, when it says in the Sefer that the Shoel sent to Shliach, Hechi dami, what was the case? So Rav Chisda would have vested interest to say, he would obviously want to defend himself by saying, well, there were no Edim there. And again, fundamentally, Rav Chisda agrees to Rav's position, that unless he says his kabel, then he's not appointed as a shliach in the absence of two Edim. Says the Gemara, no. The Mishnah doesn't make sense just on a literary level. As the Diuk in the Lashon HaMishnah is going to establish that there were two Edim here. Why? Where do you see it in the language of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Minoyad Inon, the Mishnah says that this individual, we'll call him Levi, was appointed as a Shliach. That's what it says in the Mishnah. It says, Biad Shlucho. Now, whether or not the word shliach means a courier, or whether it means a shliach lekabbalah mamish, irrelevant to that. If you call him a shliach, it must be that we have evidence to say that he is a shliach. The shoel might deny the whole story and say, who is this guy? I don't recognize him. I don't know him. I never appointed him as a shliach. So if the Mishnah is committed to call him a shliach, it must be that we have evidence that he was a shliach, or a quasi-shliach, meaning a questionable shliach. So it must be that he appointed him in front of two edim. Ella di asa bi edim. There were two edim that were present at the time that the shoel appointed the shliach. And nevertheless, katani departur is kashil Rav Chisda, because according to Rav Chisda, the very moment that a man appoints a shliach in front of two edim, he meant to appoint him as a shliach lekabbalah, and therefore he's a shoel, and he should be chayav for onsim. So the Gemara answers, Kida Amar Rav Chisda. Now, what's this Kida Amar Rav Chisda? We're going to soon see that our Mishnah that we're learning here in Bava Kamma is problematic according to Rav Chisda, because the Mishnah says that if the Nigzal appoints a shliach and the Gazlan delivers the gzela into the hands of the shliach, then he still remains chayav b'achrayus. Correct? It's only if he gives it to a shliach bezdin. But if it's not a shliach bezdin, it's the shliach of the nigzal, then he remains chayav b'achrayus. Again, you might ask me, why is he chayav b'achrayus? After all, if the whole halacha of Yolichenu le'modai is all based on the shvua sheker, you know, you might ask me, well, that's halach in kapara, why is it halach in dini mamonis? You know, that's bein adam l'makom, it's not bein adam l'chavera. Again, you're going to have to say a lot of lumpness over here to insist that somehow, as in the wake of the extended or upgraded Chiyuv Hashava B'Toras Kapara, a new Chiyuv Hashava B'Toras Mamon was incurred. In any event, so the Mishnah says if he took a Shvua Sheker and then he wants to do Tshuva, he's got to return the object not to the Shliach of the Nigzal, but rather to the Nigzal himself. What happened to Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso over here, according to Rav Chisda? So in that context, Rav Chisda gave an answer which is called Bischiro Vilakito. And we're going to soon see that statement of Rav Chisda in its context. Right now the Gemara is just borrowing it in anticipation of what Rav Chisda is about to say about our Mishnah. And the Gemara is using it to explain the Mishnah in the Perek HaShoel as to why the Shoel, when he appointed a Shliach, is not responsible for the achrayis for the onsim until the cow reaches his hands. And why is it that this shliach is not a shliach according to Rav Chisda? And after all, there were two edim. So the answer is going to be bischiro ulekito. So what's chiro ulakito? Rashi points out here that we're talking about a case of someone who is an employee, he's not a shliach. In other words, the Gemara now, Rav Chisda now, sets up two tracks, two roads, and they don't overlap. It's an either-or situation. You might already be thinking why it has to be either-or, and that's something that has to be analyzed. But be that as it may, the premise here is that either you fit into the category called the shliach, or you fit into the category called lakito uschiro, which means oschiro, and you're one or the other. The word schiro here in this context is a symbolic word. Schiro really means an employee that's being hired for a job. And the schiro, since he's taking money for the job, is not called a shliach. A shliach is someone who is not in your employment, he's just a shliach. For some reason, the Gemara says that if we have doubts as to whether or not a person appointed someone as a shliach, which even Rav Chisda agrees that we have to somehow clarify that issue, he's going to clarify generally with Edim, the fact that when he appointed the shliach, he invited to Edim, that convinces us and clarifies that he meant it as a shliach. Even so, Rav Chisda says, you can only use the Edim if the Edim were invited clearly, undeniably, for the purpose of establishing a shliach. Rav Chisda would agree that if I can give you another interpretation and another justification as to why he brought, he meaning the Shoel in this case, and we're going to soon see the same thing by the Nigzal, if he invited these two Edim for a different reason, then the whole raya falls apart. And we go back to the assumption that it's just the person is just being sent as a courier, so to speak. So let's clarify that. If this questionable shliach is not taking money, he's not hired as an employee of the mishaleach, then, says Rav Chisda, I insist the fact that he was appointed in the presence of two Edim is proof positive that he was appointed as a shliach. But if, on the other hand, the Edim were brought in for an entirely different reason, namely that there's a monetary contractual agreement here between the mishaleach and the shliach, then the Edim don't prove anything in this questionable shlichus. So again, we have three premises here that we're operating. Premise number one is, until the mishaleach says that magic word hiskabel, we don't believe that he's appointing him as a shliach. Premise number two is that Rav Chisda says, but if he appointed him in front of two Edim, I don't need that magic word hiskabel, because otherwise why did he invite two Edim? That itself is going to convince me that he was absolutely serious. He had what's called a complete decision, a deliberate gemiras das, to appoint him as a shliach lekabbalah. But if, and this is premise number three, we can attribute the Edom to some other reason, some other motivation, namely, he was lakito aschiro, which literally means, you know, he's hired to plant the field for him, or to plow the field for him, right? Lakito means to do the ktsira, that's what's called a harvest in English, right? And lakito means to pluck it out of the ground, and he's paying him for that. That's why he appoints two Edim, because the sachir wants to know that he has recourse to demand his payment, and the balabayis, the mishalech in this case, is not going to say, well, I never hired you, you know, you offered your services as a good Samaritan, gratis. Oh no, you hired me, and I have two Edim to prove it. In that case, even Rav Chisda is going to agree that the Shoel did not appoint Ploni, we'll call him Levi, as his shliach. He simply employed Levi and paid him for all his work in schlepping over to the Mashiel, picking up the cow, and bringing the cow back to the Shoel. In such a case, that was not an appointment of a shliach, despite the presence of two Edim, even according to Rav Chisda. And in what context did Rav Chisda make that statement? Tnan, in the context of our very humble Mishnah, right here on Daf Kuf Gimel. What happened in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Lo yiten lo libnov lo lishluach. The Nigzal sent his son or a shliach, and yet the Gazlan still remains chayev. What happened to the laws of shlichus? No, hi shlucho, hey chitami. You'll say that Rav Chisda is going to have vested interest to tell you that maybe there were no two Eidim over here, because otherwise the Gazlan should be potter from any achrayis the very moment he gave it over to the shliach. So if you're going to tell me the lo aso b'yedim is minoya dinan, why does the Mishnah call him a shliach? It says shlucho. Obviously, we know he's a shliach. That's not a question. The nigzal doesn't have the ability to deny that he's a shliach. Why not? Why don't he just say la dam lo yivam yolam? The answer is el alav daso b'fnei edim, that there were two edim there when the nigzal appointed this shliach, and he was a shliach lekabola, which means that the very moment that he receives the mos from the gazlan, the shliach represents the mishaleach, the nigzal, and therefore the chiyuv hashava has been fulfilled, as if the Gazlan gave it over into the hands of the Nigzal. So therefore, according to Rav Chisda, why does the Mishnah insist that he's still Chayav Bachrayus, and only in the case of Shliach Bezdin, that's the exception, is Tirgumah Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda has to defend himself from this onslaught from the Mishnah, Bischiro Lakito, which means that the Nigzal was hiring this person, paying him a salary for the work, the labor of going there to the Gazlan, retrieving the mos or whatever it is, and returning it back to him. And therefore, the fact that he brought two Adam, says Rav Chisda, doesn't prove a thing. And since he didn't say that magic word that we spoke about, as his kabel, therefore he's not a shliach l'kabbalah, and the Gazlan remains chayav b'achrayus. And we're going to use the same exact logic here in the Mishnah in Shoel to say that the Shoel is not Chayav Achrayus. Why? Because he never appointed this Levi as his Shliach LeKabbalah. Why did he bring two Eidim? That was for a different reason. There was a contractual financial commitment on his part, which he made in the presence of two Eidim. So the Gemara is not happy with this, because the Gemara says, if that be the case, then fundamentally, the Gazlan could be Patur without having to return the object to the Nigzal, if indeed the Nigzal had appointed a shliach in front of two Eidim. Says the Gemara, Avol shliach shaso b'Eidim mai, hachinami davi shliach, means that the Gazlan becomes part of the very moment he delivers the Gzela into the hands of what? Of the shliach of the Nigzal. Because again, in this case, the Nigzal appointed the Shliach in front of two Eidim, which are going to Rav Chisda. If he's not paying him a salary, it means ipso facto that he appointed him as a Shliach LeKabbalah, even in the absence of that magic word, his Kabel. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara asks the following, if that be the case, Adit Tani Seifa, Avol Nosinu L'Shliach Bezdin, Liflog V'Listening B'Didah. If the Mishnah wants to tell me in what circumstances an exception to the rule, and an Nigzal could be exonerated from any Chiyuv, even though he didn't return the object to the hands of the Nigzal, that's if he gave it into the Shliach Bezdin. Forget about Shliach Bezdin, let's just talk about the Shliach and the Nigzal. You don't have to stretch your arm out to a shliach bezdin. If the nigzal appointed a shliach, according to Rav Chisda, that shliach is a shliach lekabbalah, and the very moment the object was given into the hands of the shliach, it was halachically, legally given into the hands of the nigzal, and therefore he's potter. Is shliach shaso b'yedim hachinami da'avi shliach? You're telling me, Rav Chisda, that if the nigzal had appointed a shliach in front of two b'yedim, then he is a shliach, and therefore the gazlan would be potter. So why do you have to complicate things with a shliach bezdin? Why didn't you say the nigzal appointed the shliach in the presence of two eidim? Amri, so the Gemara now pulls a literary rule here. One of the rules in the Mishnah is, you have one rule that's called listening to liflog listening to the dub, but we also have a counter rule that neutralizes liflog v'listening midah, and that's called psikole. Sometimes the Mishnah, instead of making an exception to the rule in a complicated case, which is conditional on all sorts of tnoim that have to be fulfilled, the Mishnah says a straight case that's easier for us to understand, that's called psikole milsa. So the Gemara says the following, that in the case of the shliach of the nigzal, that's lo psikole, that's very complicated because it depends on various conditions, where Shliach Beis Din doesn't depend upon any conditions. It's psikole. It's simple, straight, and unqualified. It doesn't need any qualification. Why? The Gemara says, Loshna aso nigzal, Loshna aso gazlan. There is one Shliach where even if the Shliach was appointed by the gazlan himself, the gazlan, once he gives it over to the hands of the Shliach, he becomes potter. Now that's a little bit odd, you know. It's counterintuitive. You know, the gazlan appoints the Shliach, and therefore he exempts himself from any responsibility by giving it to the Shliach that he himself appointed? I mean, the Nigzal is going to tell him, go fly a kite. I didn't appoint him as a Shliach. That's your headache. But that's the special status of what? Of a Shliach Beis Din. And in the case of the Shliach Beis Din can be appointed by the Nigzal. In other words, the Nigzal could go into Beis Din and say, you know what? Get me a Shliach who's going to retrieve the Gzela from the hands of the Nigzal, from the Gazlan, and that's it. And then the Shliach Beis Din represents the Nigzal. Not only that, but the Mishnah wants to tell us that even if the Gazlan himself walks into Beis Din and he says, here, I want to deposit the Gzela in the hands of one of your Shluchim, you know, give me a Shliach Beis Din, he can do so and exempt himself from any responsibility, whether or not the Nigzal's happy about that. The Nigzal doesn't. You have to call up the Nigzal on the phone or Skype him and get his nod of approval. That's called lopsike. But in the case of a Shliach, not a Shliach Beis Din, but a Shliach, is psikole. Why? Because Shliach shaso v'edim. First of all, he has to be appointed in the presence of two edim. And not only that, he has to be appointed by whom? By the Nigzal, only exclusively by the Nigzal. You know, the Gazlan can't override the Nigzal and say, well, I'm going to appoint the Shliach. Is therefore the Chiaso Nigzal, who da Vishliach, Aso Gazlan, Lo Vishliach, is Lo Psikole. So that solves the riddle of Liflog Velisni Vedida. And now we come back to the very fundamental conclusion that we get from this whole sugya, that Enochinami, if the Nigzal did appoint the Shliach LeKabbalah, then the din of Gazlan is no different than the din of a Shoel or a Shomer, and the Gazlan could exempt himself and fulfill his Chiyuv Hashava by handing it over to the Shliach of the Nigzal, because the Shliach of the Nigzal is now considered according to Rav Chisda, since he was appointed in the presence of two Edom, and he's not a Sakir, etc., as a Shliach LeKabbalah in the face of the absence of that magic word, Hiskabli. That's the Shita of Rav Chisda, based on the fact that the Mishalech, meaning the Gazlan, subpoenaed two witnesses to be there at the time of the appointment of the Shliach. Now, one last point here. This Gemara is a gewaldige chiddush, not so much the halach of shlichus. Adarabah, we swing back to what we know and what we always knew before we learned this sugya, that shlucho shalom kemosa. But the chiddush is the power of the gazlan to appoint a shliach bezdin. That's the gewaldige chiddush. And if I can beg your for 1 minute more of your patience here, ulafuki mihaitana. But Rav Chisda is really entering into a very a hotbed of controversy. Why? Because the Sanya, we have a brisa that says Rav Shimon Elazar omer shliach bezdin shaso nigzal. If the nigzal appointed a shliach bezdin v'aso gazlan, that's fine. That's wonderful. If the Nigzal himself appointed the Shliach Beis Din,
even a regular Shliach,
then that would be fine. However, says Rav Shimon Elazar, Oaso Gazlan, what if the Gazlan appointed the Shliach Beis Din? Then says Rav Shimon Elazar, Visholach Halah Vinotal Eshelo, if the Nigzal receives his object from the Shliach Beis Din, miyado, then potter. In other words, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, when the Shliach was appointed by the Gazlan is not off the hook until Natal Halah Shalom miyado, until the Nigzal actually receives in hand the Gzela. then he's part of the Gazlan. In other words, the Tana of this Braiser, Reb Shimon Elazar, insists that a Shliach Bezdin that was appointed by the Gazlan is not going to exempt the Gazlan from his responsibility until such time as he Gia Hagzela Liyado. And that means that basically Reb Shimon ben Elazar is rejecting this chiddush, which Reb Chisda absolutely needed for the principle of called psikale, in order to justify why shliach of the gaz of the nigzal was not mentioned in that mishnah. Go ahead, Michael.
Why is an employee considered to be a shliach?
Why do they need two aiden, you mean?
Yeah,
because what happens is, if I do work for you, Mike, I know you're an honest guy, so you would never deny that you hired me, but you know, in the financial world out there, when we don't trust everybody, if I do work for you and I put myself out, you know, I take a long boat ride to China, I want to know that there are two aiden that I can guarantee that you hired me. Not only that, it could also be that there are different rates on the market of how much you pay a poel for his work. You know, there's the going rate, sometimes the balabais who hires you and you're in his employment will jack up the rate. He will offer you a little bit more of an incentive. I'm going to throw in, instead of three dinrim, I'm going to pay you four dinrim. He might even lower the rate, and the worker is so desperate to get a job because he can't find a job that he'll be willing to, that's called sovereign vekibel, to be willing to hire for a lower price. And therefore, the entire question of wages and how much you pay a laborer could be really a great subject of controversy, and the only way of securing on the part of the socher that he knows I'm willing to take on this job, commit myself to do the job, and get paid is because there were two aid. Okay then? So we'll stop now for the afternoon service for Mincha, and I'll wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom, a good Shabbos. My Rebbe used to say that there's a special kiyum of saying Shabbat Shalom on Shabbos itself. Why? Because Hevi Makdim Shalom L'Cholot. So in addition to covered Shabbos, you get an extra kiyum of Hevi Makdim Shalom L'Cholot. That's a special power of the word Shalom. Okay. So let me just make a note of where we got up to.
Is there a possibility of any concept that the Shaliach, on his way, actually has a thing of a shomer for Lagabe, whoever appointed him?
Well, I would like to say such a thing, but you'll have to solve the following problem, which I don't know how to solve yet. And that is that if the Shliach is responsible, then why are we suing the Shomer? Why are we suing the Gazlan? Why not just say, forget about the whole thing? If he took it upon himself to serve in this capacity, now he's responsible. Go collect from him. And you can't collect twice.